part of the feedlot ration is high-energy grain. So West Australia produces, you know, around 14 to 16 million tonne of grain a year. So and it's high-energy, it's quite reliable production. So it's a low-cost environment for a large-scale feedlot, rather than doing that on the East Coast where every now and then Southeast Queensland or New South Wales enters into sort of prolonged drought periods, so that forces up feed prices. So high-energy grain, a more reliable supply, more stable prices is one of the reasons why we're seeking to do this in WA.
And why have you chosen to specialise in Wagyu beef?
The company's heritage dates back to the very beginnings of the Wagyu industry in Australia. Chris Walker, who, based in New South Wales, is highly regarded as the pioneer of, widely regarded as the pioneer of the Australian Wagyu industry. He lived in Japan for about 15 years. In the 90s, a small window of time was available, opened up for the export of Wagyu genetics out of Japan. That window is now closed, but there was a period of time where you could export Wagyu genetics legally out of Japan. During that period of time, 162 live animals were exported out of Japan, and Chris Walker exported out 87 of the 162. So over 50% were exported out by Chris Walker. And he set up a famous Wagyu stud called West Home Wagyu, which now accounts for about 70% of all Wagyu genetics in Australia. So the heritage of StoneX traces back to the very beginnings of the Wagyu industry in Australia, and we're using the original genetics out of Japan as the basis of our breeding herd moving forward, and we wish to do that in WA.
Also, currently the demand for Wagyu beef is outstripping supply. Is that another reason for setting up the feedlot?
There's a bullish market for beef in general globally. The issue with full-blood Wagyu, this is the premium product, is that Japan consumes virtually all of the Wagyu it produces themselves, so it exports less than 1% of its own production. Most global markets don't have the opportunity to source full-blood, highly marbled Wagyu beef. There's an untapped international demand is unmet. There's certainly a market there. The issue is that it's not being supplied. Growing the herd and supplying the product is now the only way that these markets can be satisfied.
And it's said to be a $25 million investment, this feedlot. Any idea when you might see a return on that?
As a rule of thumb, the feedlot will cost, you know, in that order. It'll be a staged development. But we see the feedlot being utilised at full capacity within the first year. So there'll be Wagyu plus other breeds being used in the feedlot or fed in the feedlot. And as the Wagyu component increases through our breeding herd increasing, then the other breeds will drop in number. The feedlot will be used at full capacity with a combination of Wagyu and other British breeds.
And how significant is this feedlot for the Australian Wagyu beef industry as a whole?
It'll be quite significant. There is Wagyu produced on the East Coast. By and large, it's what they call Wagyu crosses, so it's a Wagyu cross with another breed. So this is, in terms of the full-blood Wagyu industry, so this is uncompromised genetics, so you can trace the lineage all the way back to the original animals that came out of Japan. It is quite significant in terms of the full-blood Wagyu industry.